Hello and welcome to the Strong Girl podcast, where we provide super simple tips and strategies for women of all ages and walks of life to take back control of their health, fitness, and happiness so that they may lead more fulfilled lives. I'm your host, Sarah Conlon from Strong Girls Club, and I would like to welcome Cody Stewart from CS Coaching. Welcome.
Thanks.
AKA Big Daddy, AKA Mr. Wildcard, AKA Big Horse. So I wanted to get Cody onto the podcast because we've had some really good conversations about, well, not only conversations, but we've seen lots of examples in the gym of, I guess, what mistakes newbies make.
Many.
Yeah.
Being there ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. We both started somewhere.
Yeah.
So we've made mistakes. This isn't a platform for us to judge. This is more a platform for us to help others and hopefully maybe bring awareness to or give you strategies in which you can enhance your training so that you get better results in the gym.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess, first of all, Cody, you've been in the gym for 10 years.
Yeah, thereabouts, yeah.
I think I'd say I'm about the same as well. Probably stepped into the gym when I was 16, 34 now.
That's so a bit more than 10 years.
Yeah. Oh, my maths. And only 10 years for you, or?
No, it would be 13 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And why did you start?
Just wanted to be stronger.
Yeah, just a dude wanting to be strong.
Yeah. Was sick and tired of being the skinny, weak dude.
Yeah. You were tall and lanky.
Yeah.
Were you still tall?
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't shrink.
Yeah. And now you can deadlift more than three times your body weight.
Yeah. My best is 325 kilos at 100 kilos.
Yeah. And what percentage does that put you in Australia?
Out of all men in Australia, with a 700 kilo total gets you at like 0.0072% of the male population.
What do you mean by a 700 kilo total, though, so for like people?
A powerlifting total in a competition with a 700 combined total of your squat, bench, and deadlift.
Yeah, yeah. Which is, that's pretty strong.
Yeah.
And I think there seems to be more of a shift that I've noticed for definitely women wanting to get stronger in the gym. And I'm sure that's probably the same as guys.
I don't think it's more for men. I think women are dominating the strength sports at the moment.
I think so too. I think you showed me the other day how the top athletes in powerlifting, and the majority of them are women.
Yeah, because it goes on a formula base. So it's not so much on your total. They put your total against a formula, which spits out a number. I believe out of the top 10, I believe 7 are women.
Yeah, and it's in relative to body weight, yeah. So how strong you are and your lifts in comparison to your body weight, which that's pretty like a sport where women dominate, and it's so exciting to see that happening as well.
It is kind of biased towards women, because if you are a man and select a female formula, it does blow the female numbers out of the water.
Okay.
But still, with the way it is, we can't change that. That's the way it is. They're the rules that we compete by. Mm. Women dominate.
Yeah. All right. So coming back to rookie mistakes that we see in the gym. All right, we'll go back and forth with these, but let's start the conversation. What is your first one?
I reckon we both agree with the top thing is not following a program.
Yeah.
Of some description. and sticking to it.
Yeah, I know when I first, just thinking back to when I started in a gym, I just would do whatever felt good or what I enjoyed. And I thought I was being consistent. Like, and then comparing that to now and what I know and the education I have and how I now train myself or have my coach train me. Like, it's interesting that I thought I was consistent, but not at all.
Well, how are you supposed to track anything if you're tracking nothing?
Yeah. You know that I love data and, yeah, you can't change or manipulate what you're not tracking, and how do you know if you're getting strong if you're not tracking your weights, which being a young person, I never thought about tracking my weights. Like,
it's, we've come a long way too.
Yeah.
We know a lot more about how the body gets stronger, grows more muscle, as opposed to when we started, you know.
Well, there was no Instagram. Oh, Instagram was just, it was just Facebook.
Yeah.
So I think Instagram as well, especially when you can see tiles of example workouts and stuff or pictures of people doing stuff, it's easy to get distracted and follow what the new fitness influencer is doing. And even that distraction, that's like also a good thing, but then it's a bad thing because you're not, you're just going to do what's popular, not what might be the best option for you.
Yeah, definitely. I see that at the gym a lot. A lot of people will be watching a YouTube video on a certain exercise whilst they're doing it. And you're not there to be the next YouTube influencer.
Well, the reason YouTube influencers, like, I would say that they all are very meticulous with the programs that they're following. Yes, they've got also good genetics and they're like 18 or 20, you know, so we've got genetics coming into it, and I guess enhancements such as like boob jobs and butt lifts and stuff.
But I think what they post at the end of the day isn't exactly what they're doing to get where they are.
No way. I know.
Because it's not pretty.
Yeah, yeah. I know so many female influencers that do a lot of booty band stuff, and there is no hope in hell that they're actually doing that in their program. They're doing it because it looks good.
Yeah.
The science isn't there that says that you build muscle by doing booty band stuff and not loading or...
Yeah, exactly. Now, the booty band on the Stairmaster
is just one mistake. Is, and when we say mistake, it's just, it's, you want best bang for your buck. If I'm going into the gym for 45 minutes or 60 minutes, I want to do the exercises that are going to promote the biggest hormonal response from my body so that I grow more muscle, and so that I also, say, burn calories. Not that I love that term, but, you know, rather than doing things that might look pretty, like the booty band on the Stairmaster, but in turn you're just wasting your energy. So
yeah, exactly. When get under a barbell, do some squats. First of all, learn to squat.
That's another one we talked about, was range of motion, like putting your muscle through its full range of motion. Yeah. What, actually, I'll let you talk about that.
Well, this, the science shows that a muscle will only grow and develop when it's worked through its entire range of motion. So a partial range of motion is going to give you a small amount of growth, but if you can do an exercise that's going to put the muscle through its entire range of motion, you're going to get more bang for your buck.
And this came from a conversation we had where we were talking about, you see a lot of guys, young blokes in the gym doing partial bicep curls, like, you know, they're only doing half a bicep curl. Or I see women in the gym doing half a proper hip thrust, and a hip thrust in itself isn't putting the muscle through the full range of motion, which makes it an inferior exercise.
As opposed to a squat or a deadlift.
Yeah. So... because I think, some people might not understand what full range of motion means. So do you want to give an example?
So it's, I guess you can look at a hip thrust where a glute is only contracted at the top, as opposed to a squat where your glute is stretched fully to its limit and then full contraction. Whereas when you're in like a glute bridge, the glute's not stretched.
No.
It's yeah
so not a full range of motion. Whereas with a squat, if you're not squatting below parallel,
yeah,
then you are not putting your butt through a full range of motion. So you're not going to get as great a benefit. And remember, you want best bang for your buck. Like, it's not about working harder necessarily, just be smart about it.
But not only that, like, the squat's going to work the quad, the hamstring, the adductors. So your legs in general are going to look better, not just your butt.
I went through a phase where I would just do like lots of different type of variations of RDLs and hip thrusts. What else did I do? It was probably just, and leg press. Oh, it was probably just those three. I did, I reckon, a year or 2 years of that. And I, the results that that got me compared to doing heavy deadlifts and heavy squats to depth, like, and some Bulgarian split squats or single leg work, yeah, like, is like hip thrusts are so inferior, I think, for results.
Yeah.
And especially I noticed that when I've done hip thrusts in the past and really heavy ones, my lower back gets fried so easy.
Yeah.
Like, which is a no brainer really, but once you've done it a few times.
Yeah, exactly. But the squats don't look pretty for Instagram, right?
They do if you're filming underneath your butt.
And another thing I see is shrugs. Like, it's a pointless exercise. Load a barbell and do some heavy deadlifts.
So just like dumbbell shrug. Do you want to tell people, because they can't see it, what that might look like?
So it's, you know, just grabbing a heavy set of dumbbells, you see it all the time in the gym, and shrugging your shoulders up and down. You kind of look like you don't know what you're doing as well. What are you doing? As opposed to like a heavy deadlift and relative to your own personal strength.
And why guys are doing shrugs, like, I've definitely seen a few girls doing them, but just to give the list, people that are listening, like, an idea, guys like big traps and guys don't want necks and guys, you know, that's like attractive.
But there's a saying that every skinny weak guy has abs.
Yeah.
Every big strong guy has traps.
And deadlifting gives you traps.
I haven't done shrugs in over 10 years.
I mean, doing improper lat pull downs also gives you traps, like, so there are other ways.
This is true. Yeah, you can work the traps, do get worked, like, even with a overhead barbell press, you're working traps as well.
Yeah,
but the best bang for buck for your traps is a heavy deadlift,
because it's also functional.
Yeah,
like, exactly. And it's, you're working your whole body. It's a compound movement, which means it's working more than one joint.
Yeah.
So the amount of, like, the hormonal response from a heavy deadlift is far superior to, like, light dumbbell shrugs. Yeah. You're not going to get as big a headaches either from, like, you know, like, I imagine shrugs will give you massive headache if not done properly or if too heavy as well.
But it's an easy exercise as opposed to a deadlift.
Yeah.
Like, anyone can pick up dumbbells and do a shrug, as opposed to actually putting in some effort, learning how to deadlift safely. And, I mean, it's like riding a bike. Once you've learned how to deadlift, you know how to deadlift.
It took me like 7 years to actually learn how to deadlift, because I went through three PTs while I was on my journey, you know, and they all told me different things. And it wasn't until I started training people myself and went to a few of Sebastian Areb, the Australian strength coaches, seminars, and then started powerlifting, that I learnt how to both coach and how to effectively, like, deadlift for myself. Yeah. And that was like a 7-year pro. Like, I am so jealous of people that are now taught, like, walk into the gym and their first week they're taught how to deadlift properly. Like, that didn't happen 7-10 years ago.
Even with squatting.
Yeah. I'm so jealous.
And bench press. You know, everyone sort of leans towards the powerlifting style of doing those three movements now, because they are the safest and it's the way that you're going to shift the most amount of weight.
Yeah, and that's a good point, is that if you can, like, I always get asked why have an arch in your bench press. And if an arch is going to allow you to safely move more weight, then if you can safely, or even wearing wrist wraps, if you need wrist wraps for a bench press, I have clients that don't want to wear wrist wraps. However, having that support means they can lift an extra 10 kilos, which is going to give them bigger bang for their buck, like better muscle development, functional strength, like weight loss. You know, if you can do things that are going to give you that bang for your buck, then why wouldn't you do that?
I guess with powerlifting, we view the bench press as a back movement more than a chest movement, which is old school terminology of the bench press would be a chest movement. Whereas now the science shows there's very little chest involvement in a bench press. So that's why we arch too, to free up the back so the back can move. But again, like bang for buck, the more weight you can shift, the more growth you're going to see.
However, obviously, like coming into the gym, if you're new and you've not strength trained before, then you don't want to focus on lifting as heavy as possible. You want to focus on your technique and getting that correct first.
You want to learn the movement.
Yeah, you want to build your base pretty much. So there's a lot of, like, I think people are like, yes, I'm going to go in and lift so much. But if you're a beginner, or if even an intermediate, like, it's always technique first.
I guess, like, still 60 kilo bench press for a beginner is big.
Yeah. Like, yeah, but I'm
sort of talking about younger people coming in. If they can jump in and they can bench press 60 kilos,
it's relative to the person as well.
It's relative.
Yeah.
So, but you might look on Instagram and every second person, you know, even in the women's side of it now, is benching 120 kilos.
You can't compare yourself.
But 60 kilos to a newbie is still big.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've got to take out the Instagram from it, and 60 kilos is still a lot of weight.
It's hard because I don't know, powerlifting, like, there's always someone that's stronger and I'm a sucker for it. I'll always compare myself and make myself feel bad because I'm not as strong as so-and-so, or my bench is like not 100 kilos, or
that's human nature. Like, unfortunately, that's biological and that's in everyone. So.
All right. So other mistakes we see in the gym.
One I see a lot is sitting on a machine on your phone.
So rest breaks, not timing rest breaks.
Not maybe? Timing rest breaks.
Are you talking about me?
you're a bit of a bandit for it. I find myself, if I catch myself doing that, I'll memorize my next three accessory movements and put my phone in my bag.
I time myself because I know that you give me shit about that. So now, if I find that I'm on my phone, I'll give myself like 60 second breaks, depending on if it's an accessory that I want to get through quicker. And then I'll just stay to that and be like, okay, until I've finished that, like the four sets or whatever.
Yeah.
You can get lost down a rabbit hole. Like,
yeah, definitely. And I mean, if you're at the gym, you're there for a reason. So
bringing intent into your training as well.
Definitely. You're going to see bigger results the harder you train, the harder you push yourself.
The more focused you can be on what you're doing and being in the moment.
Yeah.
I think that's a big one, is that, like, often I've seen people that'll be squatting but talking to someone at the same time. That's not intent. That's not focus. Like,
you're not bracing when you're doing that.
No, you're not doing the movement properly, and you're going to, you know, that's a good way to injure yourself.
Yeah.
So I guess what I mean when I say, like, intent is thinking about, like, where can I feel this in my muscle? Can I, like, go up in weight? Could I challenge it to see if maybe I could do some more? Or, like, am I not meant to be blowing out my RPE?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're a newbie in the gym, you want to get your heart rate up.
Mm.
So, and once your heart rate's up, you want to keep it up. You don't want to go, oh, that set was hard. Let me sit on my phone for 10 minutes while I catch my breath.
Mm.
You want to keep that going.
Yeah.
Keep pushing yourself. That's why you're in the gym.
Mm. And if you're not, I guess that brings me to like progressive overload week to week. Every week you want to be aiming to lift just a little bit more.
Yeah.
So either more load or more intensity. So you could, you know, progressive overload isn't just about putting 5 kilos more on the bar every week. It could be having shorter rest periods. It could be doing more reps. It could be upping the weight, doing less reps.
Yeah.
Because that's how you'll see change.
That's it.
Because often I think newbies, like I wasn't tracking my weights all that long, like, you know, when I started. And so I didn't know how much I was just like, oh, I'll just try this. And then you just end up doing the same weight for 2 months. And of course, you're not going to see any results because you're not challenging yourself because you're not tracking anything.
Yeah, the muscle's not going to grow.
Mm.
Like we need mechanical tension and we need that overload through the muscle. So you need to either get that via more weight, more reps, shorter rest breaks. The body is inherently lazy.
Yeah.
It doesn't want to work hard, but our mind's strong. So we've got an internal battle going on where we want our mind to be stronger than our body.
Mm.
And in turn, that's going to make us stronger.
I'm not sure if I'd say that our mind is strong. I think that we can train our mind while we're training because, like, my mind from now, where I am now, to where I was at the start, like I think that training goes hand in hand with like both mental and physical strength because you can explore how much you can push yourself as well.
Yeah, this is true. But I'm like, well, it's easy to sit on the couch.
Mm.
It's hard to go and get do a workout in the gym.
Yeah.
It's easy to sit on the couch because that's what our body wants to do.
Mm.
If we're already having the thought of going to the gym, like that's our mind putting that thought in there.
Mm.
So the mind wants you to do that. Let's push our body to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. But also like even this week I talk about rate of perceived exertion, like the scale of RPE, and that we still could push more than what we think we can. Like an RPE 8 for me, like I've found that like if I've got people around me, I can push so much harder. So it's that mind, like there's so much going on, you know, like
there's a lot of external stimulus going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the RPE thing and learning how to push yourself is probably the hardest thing you'll ever encounter when it comes to the gym. Mm. Like we all find even now that we can push harder than we thought we could.
Mm.
You just need a bit of external stimulus and people around you saying you can do it.
Yeah, we've started training more with like our friends that are all coached by the same coach and we've got a bit of a team happening and like the gains that we've all had, the whole team's had just from being around each other and pushing and supporting each other has been incredible.
Yeah.
Like compared to last year or the year before.
Yeah, definitely. Well, coming from training by myself in a carport to in a team environment,
mm.
All my lists have skyrocketed.
It's limitless.
Yeah.
To a certain extent. Yeah. 500 kilo deadlift. So, all right, what have we talked about for newbies in the gym or rookie mistakes we see is not following a program, not tracking weights, not progressively overloading week to week. What was the other ones?
Range
of motion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Working through range of motion.
Mm-hmm.
Putting the phone down.
Yeah. Rest breaks. Talking too much. Not having intent or focus.
Yeah.
When you're performing the exercises.
I think a lot of that would come from just simply putting the phone down.
Mm.
Live a bit more in the now.
Yeah. Be more present.
Yeah. And I guess it, like a lot of people do, but then again, not a lot of people do, is a bit of research.
Mm,
watch some videos.
Yeah.
Learn how to do the exercise.
But also film yourself because I think having feedback, I know it would seem scary and it might feel like you're being a bit of a tosser or something by filming yourself, but you get used to it. Like, we film ourselves, but it gives us that feedback to be like, oh, I am squatting to depth, or that doesn't look right. Like, maybe I could show someone and maybe they could tell me, give me some tips or pointers. Yeah, or
definitely. And you're in the gym, it's now very common for people to be filming.
Yeah.
So don't feel like you're going to be a wanker getting your phone out and filming yourself.
Yeah.
It's a part of gym culture these days.
Which is great. Yeah.
And who cares if someone walks in front of it?
When they knock it over accidentally.
Oh, that can be frustrating. Yeah. But it's a tiny little rectangular thing stuck in a shitty position.
Yeah. Yeah, because I get my online clients to film themselves, and I know that it can be a bit intimidating, I think, or a bit daunting for women. But just go in when it's a little bit quieter, or get your partner to do it. Then you've got, you know, power in numbers. Like, it might make you feel a bit like not so.
Just do it.
Yeah, I know.
That's the easiest way to get over that fear of it being a bit intimidating. It's just do it.
Yeah. The more you do something, then the more comfortable you'll feel. Like, I hated doing Instagram stories, and now I don't care at all because I've done it so many times, you know? Like,
definitely. Honestly, you might get one or two people that'll
look at you sideways. Look at you
a bit weird, but I mean, they've got shit going on in their lives too. So
stuff them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think this has been a great chat. How long have we gone for?
I think it's about half an hour.
Oh, not bad. And remember, everyone has to start somewhere. So I think if you're going to do something, try and do it to the best of your ability and put a bit of effort into it, because it's so easy to be really mindless and go through the motion. But then at some stage, you're going to be a bit frustrated by your lack of results because you've just been just going through the motions, you know? Like, I like to take the approach with anything I do in life, I want to do it really well because we only get one life. Like, why half-ass shit? Either do it or don't do it. Like,
and the gym environment is probably the most accepting environment there is. Everyone's there to improve themselves.
Yeah.
No one cares how heavy you're lifting, what you look like, what you're wearing.
Mm-hmm.
No one gives a shit.
Yeah.
Because they're all there working on themselves.
That's one thing I say to someone is that, well, like, I get a lot of women that are like, oh, I don't like other people looking at me. And I'm like, but they're not looking at you. No. They're looking at themselves. Like, especially dudes, like, or if you're looking at your form, you're looking at yourself. Yeah, there'll be a few creepers. Like, I mean, I've had a few.
Shopping center.
Yeah, literally. Like, I've had the same experience as everyone else.
Yeah.
But you just want to find the right environment that you feel comfortable in as well. So if there is a gym that you're not vibing, then there are a million other ones out there.
Oh, there's, you know, five gyms on every corner.
Yeah.
And like, you're going to be less judged in a gym for what you're doing and what you look like and what you're wearing than what you're going to be walking around a supermarket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know that, Cody and I trained together, and we were working in with this couple who were quite...
They were bigger.
They were, like, bigger. And we were both just like, fuck yeah, that's so good. Yeah. Like, awesome. You guys are getting in. You're putting in effort. Like, I don't care what anyone looks like, what they're wearing. Yeah. It's the effort. Like, if you're swanning around, like, with a full face of makeup and you're lifting 2 kilo weights, I'll be like, mate, come on, like... But if you're there sweating your tits off, like, and I don't give a shit how big or small or like what you're lifting, or then fucking good on you. Like,
exactly. We're all there to improve ourselves.
Yeah.
And I had a good chat with him the other day.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They were there when I was squatting.
Yeah.
And he come up, had a good chat. Strong.
Yeah.
Big dude.
Yeah.
And like, they were nice people.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's like,
who gives a fuck what they look
like? No, I know. Like, personality is everything, and what you look like is so superficial.
Exactly.
You know, so, yeah. Yeah, more real shit, less of this fake, like, I need to look like this to enter a gym. It's not like that unless there's a gym that is literally like that, then go somewhere else, you know.
You might get the odd gym like that specializes in a certain thing that might be a bit too
not your style,
might be a bit too full on for a beginner.
Yeah,
like, you know, some of the CrossFit things are pretty hardcore. Some of the F45s are pretty up there some when it comes to intensity.
Yeah, well, even the bodybuilding gyms, like, I've walked in before and been like, oh wow, this
is quite clicky. But just go to your local gym. Your memberships are shitload cheaper.
Yeah,
it's there, the 24/7, and you can go when it suits you.
Yeah, Anytime Fitness, Snap. Like, I'm such a fan of Revo. Revo's my favorite club in WA, easily.
And if you want to get to that stage of joining those gyms, you've got to start somewhere. Make that a goal.
Yeah.
I mean, especially with like CrossFit, their stuff's posted worldwide. You can get their daily WODs. You could start doing something similar
and in your build garage.
Build up your endurance
before
you join.
But at the end of the day, I think most places, well, I would assume that most places celebrate their members for just turning up. Yeah, like, definitely. I know that that's what I'm all about, you know, just showing up and putting in effort.
I mean, I guess like what I'm getting at is if you are a bit intimidated by that and how elite some of the people are in there. I mean,
but also if you want to like be the best, or if you want to aspire to be like, then it might be good to be in that atmosphere, you know.
Yeah, you can surround yourself by those people.
Yeah, and they might be really nice people. Like,
I'm not saying that they're not gonna be nice people, they might just leave you in the dust.
Yeah, but if they're like high-fiving you and congratulating you while you're giving it a crack, like, that's pretty sweet, you know, the support rather than looking down on you just because you didn't finish under a certain time.
I'm not saying that they would be. I'm saying that, like, if you feel intimidated by how elite they are, they might leave you behind.
Yeah.
You can start somewhere else and work your way there.
Yeah, there are always different options available.
Definitely.
Okay, that's all for today. So Cody does take online clients. He is passionate about helping men.
Yeah.
Especially with, like, you're a big advocate for men's mental health.
Definitely, yeah. Big advocate for it. So.
And I think you're, like, a great leader. You're the perfect person to, like, pave the way for men to...
I wouldn't say I'm a leader.
Just, well, by posting and doing what you're doing, and, like, people look up to you for that.
Yeah, more than happy to help people out.
Yeah, so you can get in touch with him via his Instagram page, Cody_Stewart_powerlifting.
Yeah,
I think that's it.
No, you just let Cody Stewart to come up.
Yeah. We'll get in touch with me. Yeah. All right, thanks for listening, y'all, and thanks, Cody.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.